Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network. For more information, go to storyhanger.com. Hi, everybody. Bob Harkins here. Before we get started, I wanted to say a couple things about Season 2, because it's going to be a little bit different from last season. Last season, we told a bunch of different stories on one topic. This year, we're going to actually tell one story over the course of all the episodes. I'm going to follow a minor league baseball pitcher as he works his way through his first full season as a pro. His name is Cole Uvilla, and he has a really unique story, which you'll soon hear all about. But first, I want to stress a couple of things. You're going to want to listen to these episodes in order, because the story is going to follow Cole chronologically through the 2019 season. Second, you might be tempted to hop on Google and see how his season went. And while I don't think that would really ruin anything, it might be more enjoyable if you don't know too much going in. Just my two cents. One more thing before we get started. If you like the podcast and want to support our brand of storytelling, there are a few ways you can do so. We do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/raisedsports. If you'd rather make a donation directly, you can do so on our website, raisedsports.com. And if you'd like some swag from the show, we do have t-shirts for sale over there as well. So those are some ways to help us out. We'd really appreciate it. Oh, and be sure to tell your friends all about us. Spread the word. Thank you so much. Now on with the show.
I was basically starting to take pitching serious as a sophomore in college, and I just started to basically cram all of that into a really short amount of time, and just I was pitching up the mound almost every day. But I kind of just rededicated myself to, you know, I kind of just told myself I wasn't going to be denied and I wasn't going to be passed on again in the draft.
Every young baseball player dreams of taking the field in the major leagues, but even the best find out quickly that it takes more than dreaming to get there. It takes talent, hard work, and even a little bit of luck.
There's times where I've, you know, kind of had things planned in my head and like expected them to go a certain way, and they normally don't.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Raised Sports Podcast, in which we'll go deep into the minor leagues and follow a prospect as he works towards what he hopes will be a shot at the big leagues.
The organization's going to test me, and if I can hold up, then great. If not, then they'll find somebody else, and that's kind of the nature of the business.
He'll endure long bus trips and short paychecks. He'll tinker with his game as the competition gets tougher, and he'll battle through the aches and pains that come with a long season.
It's just part of the game. I mean, playing a little bit banged up, I mean, you're never going to feel 100%, you know, in 140-game seasons.
And along the way, he'll constantly look for any edge to improve his game, to impress, to find a way to advance up the minor league ladder.
When I'm my best is when I'm not thinking too much and I'm just out there to embarrass the hitter. For the rest of my career, just out to show the world.
And a swing and a miss, strike three. Pumps the fastball past Benson up in the zone.
Episode 1, I Wasn't Going to Be Denied. One of the biggest moments in any elite athlete's life, at least in the major American team sports, is the draft. You see them on TV and it's always so dramatic. The athletes are sitting there surrounded by relatives, always nervous, intense. Then one of them hears his name called, and there is this intense release of emotion. The countless hours of training, practice, games, all the sacrifice, all the preparation, it's all finally paid off, and the dream has come to fruition. He's going to be a professional athlete. We're most often used to seeing this moment in the NBA and the NFL. The NBA draft is only 2 rounds long, 60 players are selected. The NFL is 7 rounds, and both are televised in their entirety. The Major League Baseball draft, though, it's kind of a different animal. Baseball is so technically demanding that it usually takes years of development before a player is ready for the highest level. So teams stockpile players and hope to develop them in the minors and eventually turn them into big leaguers. That's why baseball's draft is 40 rounds long, spread out over 3 days. It used to be even longer.
With the first selection of the 2018 MLB draft, the Detroit Tigers select Casey Mize, a right-handed pitcher.
Now imagine waiting that out, watching the picks roll by, hoping you'll be one of the 1,200 or so players picked. And imagine it being more than likely your last chance to be a professional baseball player.
The third day was, because I know this all now, but at the time I had no idea, so it was an extremely long day.
That's Cole Uvula, who was one of those players sweating it out in the summer of 2018. He and Kayla, his girlfriend at the time, who is now his fiancée, were in the car with their husky, Lola. They thought Cole was going to be picked in the first 2 days of the draft, but when he wasn't, they got in the car and started driving from Georgia, where Cole was a pitcher at Georgia Gwinnett College, all the way across the country to their home state of Washington. Here's Kayla.
The beginning of the day, he was driving, I think just because he didn't want to have to like sit there and feel obligated, you know, to like check his phone nonstop. Because what, day three is like 3 picks a minute or something, like they just pump them out as fast as possible. And we had known, you know, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket, like don't bank on this happening. We were driving back to Washington to like go find an apartment pretty much. And even when he's driving, I'm sitting over there refreshing Twitter, like trying to have him not notice because I don't want him to be like, stop checking it. But I had to keep checking it every minute to see every round.
Around round 30 or so, Cole can't stand it anymore. So Kayla takes over driving duties and he monitors things. But it doesn't look so good. Rounds 36, 37, 38 slip by. Only 2 rounds to go, and still no news. But Cole was still hopeful. He knew there was a team that liked him, the Texas Rangers. He had grown close with Derek Tucker, a Rangers scout who was in charge of Georgia plus Nashville in the eastern half of Tennessee. Tucker liked Cole's arm and had pushed him to his bosses. But in the 39th round, the Rangers did something that was alarming.
Cole's like, there's no way I'm getting drafted. They just took a quarterback. And I'm like, you never know. Like, anything could happen.
The quarterback in question was Shea Patterson of the University of Michigan. Patterson was actually a pretty good high school baseball player. But to Cole and his family, this looked like a pretty bad sign. When the pick was announced, Cole's father, Steve, who had monitored every pick of the draft from home, he just couldn't take it anymore.
He knew the Rangers were probably the team that was going to take me. In the 39th round, the Rangers drafted the Michigan quarterback, Shea Patterson, who ended up actually signing. But at the time, we had no idea. You know, we thought it was just a throwaway pick, which is kind of common in the late rounds. But Shea Patterson, so they drafted a football player. And when my dad saw that, he was kind of so frustrated that he just shut off the computer and went for a walk to cool down.
There was 1 round to go, and as far as anyone knew, the Rangers were the only team interested in drafting Cole. That meant he had 1 shot left, with his baseball career potentially hanging in the balance. But as nerve-wracking as that was, it was really just one more moment of uncertainty for Cole Uvula. One more hurdle in what you'll see is a uniquely interesting and unorthodox baseball journey. Cole Uvula's journey started back in Port Angeles, Washington, the small coastal town where he grew up. Port Angeles is a town of about 20,000 on the northern coast of the Olympic Peninsula. It's the birthplace of Hall of Fame quarterback John Elway, but other than that bit of trivia, there isn't a whole lot of sports history to point to. What Port Angeles really is a beautiful port town, a logging town, and a haven for tourists who love the outdoors. It's about as far into the northwest as you can get and still be in the continental United States, closer to Victoria, British Columbia in Canada than it is to Seattle. Cole's father, Steve, was a sports fan, though his favorite version was the wheeled variety. He loved cars and was very serious about his hobby, drag racing. He had a 1981 Camaro that he souped up and took to area tracks to compete against other enthusiasts. It was a beautiful car that could hit 160 miles per hour on the quarter-mile track. Steve called it a showpiece. But when it turned out that Cole didn't take to the sport, Steve sold that car and gave up racing so he could devote time to driving Cole and his younger sister Ashlyn to their own practices and games. It was an early lesson in sacrifice. Cole's mother Denise worked in the banking industry and taught the kids about trusting that the curveballs in life happen for a reason and to not let them keep you down. Her toughness was especially evident as she fought through multiple battles with skin cancer. She eventually succumbed to melanoma on Valentine's Day in 2007, when Cole was just 13. This was well before he thought he had a future in pro sports, but the lessons from his mom have stayed with him to this day.
Yeah, I mean, she always used to talk about how, like, everything happens for a reason. That was kind of her mantra. And just, I think, you know, as I've grown, I've seen, like, you know, just not just baseball, but in life, like, I really believe that to be true. But especially in my baseball career, there's times where I've, you know, kind of had things planned in my head and, like, expected them to go a certain way. And they normally don't. That was probably the biggest, you know, lesson I took from her, was just that, you know, to kind of ride the wave and not too high, not too low, and just understand that there's a reason that this is happening.
From a young age, Cole gravitated to basketball and baseball. He was a good athlete, though never the biggest or the strongest. In baseball, he was a shortstop and a pitcher. He spent hours working to develop as a hitter and to sharpen his glove work in the field. But Steve noticed there was something a little different about Cole when he took the mound, like a light went on in his eyes or something.
Whenever he would pitch, it was like he was in control. Like he had a different mental makeup, and it was, I saw it early, 9 years old. I used to tell him, I said, if you could play basketball or if you could hit like you pitch with that same intensity, I says, you would never have to pitch because you could play at any level. Because he put way more time into being a hitter and a defensive player than he ever did pitching.
But in high school, Cole focused on hitting. And when he landed a scholarship at Pierce College, a JC about an hour south of Seattle, it was as a shortstop. Going from big fish in a small pond to small fish in a kind of a medium pond turned out to be quite the eye-opener for Cole. A late bloomer physically, he was, according to his father, about 6'1 and 145 pounds when he headed off to Pierce College. Cole quickly discovered he was overmatched by college pitchers. And he wasn't up to par in the field either. So he decided to redshirt, taking a year to train, to get stronger and quicker, and that's when a spur-of-the-moment comment changed everything.
I was on deck in an inter-squad, in a midweek inter-squad, like two-thirds of the way through the regular season, and head coach was really frustrated with how the bullpen had been pitching, and one of the bullpen pitchers was on the mound throwing, and he was kind of all over the place, not really all that consistent, and he stood up off of his bucket, and he was like, hey, you know, can any of you guys throw strikes? Like, I'm sick of watching this. You know, he's kind of just chewing out the team. And I was on deck and kind of right next to him, and I was like, I can throw strikes. And I was like, and I can do a sidearm.
Now, the sidearm thing was kind of a lark. Cole had been goofing around with one of his teammates who was a submarine-style pitcher. So he kind of blurts this out, not really thinking a whole lot about it. He's kind of half-kidding, really. But the coach, he takes him up on it.
And he's like, all right, go get warmed up. And I kind of thought he was kidding, so I just kept doing my batting gloves and getting ready to hit. And he's like, no, Cole, like, hurry up. You're in next inning. So I was like, all right. So I grabbed my glove, and I started warming up sidearm and went in the game and did all right. And then they kind of sat me down, and they were like, listen, like, we'll still honor everything we said in the fall. Like, if you want to come back as a shortstop and retro this year, it's totally understandable, but we think we could use you on the mound, and if you're willing to burn your red shirt, you know, you'll get some innings. And at that point, you know, I was just so sick of being on the sidelines, and all I wanted to do was play. It wasn't even really a thought. I mean, it was just like, yeah, let's do it. And so I think I pitched like 7 2/3 or 8 innings my freshman year as a submarine pitcher. And that's kind of how I got my first opportunity on the mound in college.
So Cole does okay. He's not throwing that hard, but he is into the 80s, and he sees some success. Then in the offseason, a friend introduces him to Kyle Bodie of Driveline Baseball, which is this training facility that specializes in science and data analysis to build better baseball players. Cole hits it off with Kyle and starts working out at Driveline. He ditches the sidearm delivery for a more traditional over-the-top style, and he very quickly starts seeing improved velocity, pushing 90 miles per hour. That half-joking comment, a comment he didn't think the coach would even take seriously, had changed everything.
So, I mean, who knows what my career would have been if I wouldn't have said that. Who knows if I would have tried pitching down the road, you know, in a day or a month or whatever. But, you know, I know that my, you know, I know I still wouldn't be playing baseball if I was a shortstop. I don't think there was as much of a future as there was in pitching. So it was a pretty cool to look back on now and kind of think, you know, wonder what my career would have been if I wouldn't have said that day.
Here's Cole's dad, Steve.
You know, Cole was never the biggest kid. He was never the fastest kid. He was never the toughest kid, but he was probably one of the most tenacious kids. Him sniffing it, you know, him just believing a little bit that it could happen for him just started fueling the fire. And I saw it at junior college.
Cole's second year at Pierce was good enough to land him a scholarship clear across the country at Division I Georgia State University. That's where the Texas Rangers scout Derek Tucker enters the picture. Tucker was intrigued by Cole. He liked his athleticism, and he liked the quickness of his arm. Tucker was also friends with Adam Scott, who was Georgia State's pitching coach at the time. So he went to him, started quizzing him about this mysterious transfer from Washington.
Adam pitched in Alabama and had a lot of like success with some young pitchers, so I obviously went to him and started asking a lot of questions about, hey, man, where'd this guy come from? Like, tell me about him. And when I found out he'd only been really pitching for about a year to that point, like, even though he was a college kid and a little older, I was, like, super intrigued. And from a scouting report standpoint, it was more driven on, man, this guy hasn't pitched a lot. He hasn't had a lot of instruction. What he's doing right now is just raw. And I think if he ever got into the right organization with the right people, he could really, like, take some big jumps.
So Cole was starting to believe, and others were noticing too. But his first year as a junior at Georgia State was just kind of okay. And when the 2015 draft came around, Cole was not selected. It was devastating for him, but it also stoked a fire within him. That summer, he went back to Washington and returned to work out at Driveline. He was training like a madman. He was throwing off the mound almost every day. He felt like he needed to play catch-up as he approached his senior season, so he wasn't holding anything back. And the training, it really paid off. Cole started his senior season at Georgia State pitching the best he had ever pitched in his life. In his first 20 innings, he allowed 16 base runners and struck out 22. His ERA was below 1. But he also wasn't taking care of himself. He was training hard, but also putting a lot of stress on his arm from throwing so much. And he wasn't eating right. He wasn't getting his sleep. Then on a Tuesday, Georgia State was set to play Mercer, which featured a player named Kyle Lewis, who was one of the best players in the country. He would become a first-round draft pick of the Seattle Mariners. So there were going to be a lot of scouts there, including Tucker. But in addition to watching Lewis, Tucker kind of saw this as an opportunity to see how Cole was progressing. So he and the pitching coach, Adam Scott, they worked it out so he could view Cole's bullpen session before the game.
We both told him, like, hey, man, just kind of go through your normal touch and feel, like no radar gun or anything. And I guess, like, once you get to know Cole, like, Cole doesn't do anything, like, that's not full speed. He is 100% all the time, like, wants to catch your eye, wants to do this. And I guess, like, I mean, he told me later that he was trying to, like, ramp it up, trying to impress me, I guess.
Cole saw this as a great chance to make an impression. So he didn't treat it as a normal bullpen session. And it kind of came back to bite him.
with the scout there filming me, I decided to kind of just let it loose and, you know, throw about as hard as I would in the game and kind of get some, basically some good footage for him to be able to take back to his scouting director and his cross checkers and stuff like that. About halfway in, I threw a curveball and I felt a pain in my elbow. I knew something was up, but, you know, I kind of told my pitching coach, like, hey, something just felt weird there. He was, you know, kind of concerned. He's like, all right, throw another one. And I threw another one, and it was a fastball, and it was probably like, you know, 75 miles an hour. And I just, you know, like, I skipped a rock into the catcher. And we shut down the bullpen. We didn't finish it.
Cole says that the pain felt like an electric shock as his arm accelerated. Then as he released the ball, he felt clumsy, like he couldn't control it, like he hadn't thrown a ball in 15 years. All of the hard work, the effort to catch up to his more experienced competition in the draft, all that effort to go all out in front of the scout, turned out to be all too much for the ulnar collateral ligament in Cole's right elbow, and it gave out. Cole would need Tommy John surgery. He could forget about pitching the rest of his senior season, and he could forget about the 2016 draft. I'm sure everyone's heard about Tommy John surgery, but you might not know exactly what it is. The procedure is named after the former big league pitcher of that name, who was the first to undergo the surgery in 1974. He returned in 1976 and pitched another 15 years in the big leagues, the ultimate success story. How the surgery works is this. The surgeon drills holes in the bone above and below the elbow, then takes a healthy tendon from elsewhere on the athlete's body, threads it through the holes, and ties it off, effectively creating a new ligament. Recovery time from this surgery is lengthy, rehab intensive. You're looking at a minimum 9 months of rehab, and pitchers sometimes don't get back to full strength for 2 years. So at this point, Cole was presented with a choice. He could apply for a medical redshirt, rehab aggressively, and try to return for an extra season at Georgia State. Or he could take the long road back, figure out how to get back on the radar of scouts after he recovered. After a lot of research and thought, he opted for the longer road back. It was 18 months before Cole threw off a mound again, 22 months before he pitched in a game. That came at Georgia Gwinnett College, an NAIA school that wasn't held to the NCAA's eligibility rules. That Ranger scout that wanted to see him pitch on the day he was hurt, Derek Tucker, he helped him get on there. Once Cole got over the pain of the surgery itself, his arm actually felt great, better than ever, in fact. Once he did pick up a ball, he was ready to go.
And that was the best advice I got about the surgery was my junior college coach reached out to me after he heard it happened, Kevin Davis, and he said, listen, the one thing I'll tell you is just know it's fixed. You know it's brand new. And that's kind of something I really bought into and believed in, and I just would always talk about how I have a brand new elbow and it's ready to roll and it's going to be better than ever. And I really bought into that and I really believed that. And because of that, I was able to like truly test the surgery. I wasn't afraid to throw the ball hard as when I was allowed to throw hard. And I wasn't afraid to throw breaking balls hard when I was allowed to throw breaking balls hard. And I always just believed that it was fixed. And because of that, I think it led to me coming back stronger than I ever was and with more confidence than I ever was.
As confident as Cole was, however, the results at Georgia Gwinnett were kind of spotty. It's just not that easy coming back from Tommy John. So there he was as the 2018 Major League Baseball draft started, hoping somebody would take a chance on him. As I mentioned before, Tucker liked Cole, and he had submitted him to his bosses as a potential option to be drafted in the rounds 7 through 10. The reason for that is kind of complicated, but basically how it works is each team is assigned a bonus pool, a set amount of cash that it can use on players in the first 10 rounds. So if a team spends a lot of that pool money on one player high up in the draft, it will have to make that up somewhere else in the first 10 rounds. After the 10th round, the bonus pool doesn't apply anymore. It turns out the Rangers didn't need to save money on those bonus pool picks, so after round 10 passed, they reevaluated how their draft was looking.
they pulled up my file and they were like, what's up with the Uvula guy? And they're like, oh, he's 24 years old, coming off Tommy John. Didn't have a great year in the NAIA. But, you know, this, that, and the other kind of said some positives. And then the scouting director was like, okay, well, nobody else is taking him, so just fly him to the 40th.
So back to the car, with Cole and Kayla and the husky Lola. They're in Kentucky, on their way from Georgia to Washington. Kayla's behind the wheel, Cole is on his phone. Cole's dad, Steve, who had monitored every pick of the draft, was off on a walk somewhere back home, having turned the computer off in disgust after the Rangers drafted a quarterback over his son in the 39th round. They've waited 3 days, and with only a few picks left, they finally get the good news.
So the 40th round comes, and he's like, Kayla, I'm a Texas Ranger, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we have waited all day for this. There's no way this is really happening. And he's like, yeah, it's real. Look, and he shows me, and like, we're obviously both very emotional in the moment, and I was just so thankful that I was the one driving versus him, because I feel like we may have crashed after that happened, because he was just like so happy, couldn't focus on anything. His phone is absolutely going crazy with people like texting and calling and just blowing him up nonstop. Like, everybody was waiting for this moment, and so it was wild, but it was a lot of fun as well.
Cole was the 1,199th player chosen, 15 from the bottom, and he was elated. Quickly, he called his dad.
He answered the phone, you know, kind of with a disappointed, not disappointed in me, but just a disappointed in the situation voice. And he was like, well, how are you holding up? Because he thought I went undrafted. And then I said, well, I'm really good considering the Rangers just drafted me. And then, it was a really emotional moment, and, you know, it was pretty awesome.
He signed for $1,000, which amounted to about $700 and change after taxes, and he prepared to continue his unusual journey, this time as a professional. You don't see a lot of athletes starting out their minor league careers at age 24, and you don't see a lot of 40th rounders get much of a shot either. But this is nothing new to Cole. He says he's never been the best player on any team he's ever played on. He says he never envisioned pro baseball as his destiny when he was a kid. It was always a slow progression. It was about, what do I need to do to play college baseball? Then, what do I need to do to play Division I baseball? Then, what do I need to do to get drafted?
My junior college coach and I always joke around, because when I was in junior college, you know, my first year after the fall, when I was still a shortstop, I was definitely like, I think there was like 30 guys on the team, I was definitely like the 30th guy on the depth chart, and I was probably the worst player on the team. And I always ask him why he didn't cut me, and he tries to say that he knew I had he's like, yeah, I just saw you had a good arm and thought there was some potential there. It's like, it was my idea to try pitching, not yours.
And so he continues. After signing his contract with the Rangers, they send him back to his home state of Washington, assigning him to Spokane, a short-season Class A team in the Northwest League. Cole did well in his first taste of pro ball, allowing just 28 base runners and striking out 48 in 31 and two-thirds innings as a reliever. His ERA was just 1.42. As good as his season was, though, he knows he can't let up. He knows his situation as a 40th rounder. As an older player coming off Tommy John surgery, it doesn't lend itself to a lot of patience from the Rangers. He'll get a fair chance to succeed, but he might not receive the same amount of patience a younger player might.
If you get drafted as an 18-year-old, you know, being in the minor leagues for 8 years and debuting as a 26-year-old, that's normal. That's a good solid path to the big leagues. But for me, you know, it's going to be kind of like a sink or swim situation.
Sink or swim. That's what was on the line as Cole Uvula prepared for 2019 and what would be his first full season of professional baseball. Already 25, he's old for someone so inexperienced. But the scout who drafted him says Cole has several things going for him, things beyond the mid-90s fastball.
Yeah, I think confidence level I think determination, and I think work ethic. I'll put those three things up with anybody that I know in our system. He truly has a goal, and he is focused on his goal. Every time I talk to him, that's where his motivation's at. He does everything he's supposed to do off the field. Like if anything, just back in college, he works too hard. And even in the off season, he's always wanting to make his curveball a little better, or he wants to make his fastball a little better. And sometimes he's got to back down on the throwing and everything. But as far as ambition and drive, I'll never bet against the kid to do anything.
And as Cole's dad, Steve, points out, why not him?
You know who was ranked number 1199 in the world before he made his comeback? He goes, well, what do you mean? I says, in golf, who was ranked 1199 in the world before he made his comeback? He goes, I have no idea. I says, Tiger Woods. I see you share that in common with him. Your draft number and his world ranking were both 1199. He thought that was pretty funny.
Thanks for listening to the premiere of Season 2 of the Raised Sports Podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Bob Harkins. Music credits go to Jazar and Andy G. Cohen, and the theme song comes from DL Sounds. Special thanks to Cole Uvula for letting me follow along with him this season. I'd also like to thank Steve Uvula, Kayla Andrus, and Derek Tucker for taking part in this episode. Stay tuned for episode 2, in which we'll catch up with Cole as he begins his first full season as a pro baseball player, beginning with an assignment to the Hickory Crawdads of the Single A South Atlantic League.
It was laid out to me really well by my area scout when I got drafted. He said, listen, you're a 24-year-old, 40th round pick that signed for $1,000. You have to be the best version of you every time you pitch. They're not going to give you time and years of time to develop. I mean, it's the business side of the game. You know, you have to come in and you have to treat every moment like it's your last.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.